This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Say yes to Pure Leaf tea and free gas for a year only at True North Convenience Stores. When it comes to quality, say yes to the delicious taste of real brewed Pure Leaf tea. True North stores are stocked with your favorite flavors like unsweetened, extra sweet, and raspberry. For a limited time, enter for a chance to win free gas for a year. Check the True Rewards app for details or download the mobile app from the Apple or Google Play stores. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you. From daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between. Because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Now for Mego and Shime on WEEI.
Joe, gaining consistency, has that become an issue? Like, how do you guys become more consistent? Even if you lose tonight, you play maybe a better game as opposed to it's just kind of up and down.
Yeah, I think it's just the process. You know, what did we do well? Whether you win or lose, just trying to focus on that. That's how you gain the consistency regardless of the result. But, you know, tonight we didn't, you know, the transition defense, the offensive rebounds, those things, just didn't do them well, so. You know, we just got to really, it's a bit just regardless of what happens, it's about the process of the things that go into winning and just kind of work through those.
Mego and Shime here on WEEI. That was Joe Mazzulla talking about trying to get consistent with this Boston Celtics team. Mego, there's about 2.5 weeks until that All-Star break. Mm-hmm. How important is it for them to just kind of figure something out as they get to that break and allow themselves to heal and reset and then really attack this second half of the season?
Well, first of all, congrats to Jason Tatum for being named an All-Star starter again. Wonderful for him.
Good job.
He earned it certainly this year.
I hope you're this All-Star Game MVP again.
Oh, boy. What a accomplishment that is.
It's just so good.
It's nice for him. Whatever. I don't really care about All-Star. I think it's fun. Yeah. But it means way more to me if somebody like Derek White had stayed a little bit more consistent and was able to make the team than Tatum making it every single year and making it as a starter.
It is so much better, though, than the NFL Pro Bowl. That's for sure.
I look at the schedule that they have coming up, and I guess part of what I'm feeling is just disappointment about this particular road trip.
Yep.
Where the last road trip that they went on, they went 3-1. They had a terrible fourth quarter against OKC, who is probably, aside from Cleveland, like the one other team who I think is going to battle you at some point for the championship, mm-hmm. be it in the finals or, I mean, that's the only way that they would battle you 1-1, sure. But like they're the only other serious contender in my opinion. And I thought that maybe with how good this team has been on the road versus how they play at home, that this would be a galvanizing trip, and it doesn't feel that way. They're barely able to get past the Clippers, go into overtime, even though they were very shorthanded. And then they go into this weird double big lineup that they had with the Lakers. And I was talking about talking with Justin Turpin on our Slam podcast yesterday about this. It was so weird to me that going up against LeBron and Anthony Davis, that Mazzulla stuck with Porzingis and Al Horford on the court at the same time, like for so much of that game, because Mazzulla has talked about how he kind of hates doing that lineup.
Yeah.
And Terp's opinion was, he's doing that because those are the guys he trusts right now. And I actually just thought it was really the wrong approach, because I understand you want to have veteran presence out there and you're trying to, again, galvanize this team and get them strong together. But it's like, yeah, old ass LeBron. You got Anthony Davis, who looks like he's like carved out of wood. You know, like this is not an athletic Lakers team. You should be sprinting around them like that. And instead, the approach, and it didn't adjust throughout the game, and they got run off the court. And part of it, I do think, like, it is worth looking at Missoula too, because in that Clippers game, they look like the Clippers. This is one of the other issues with being a team that runs it back completely.
Yeah,
it's great to bring back everybody from the championship team, but you are more known than any team in the league.
Sure.
The tape is out on you, and I'm not just talking about three-point attempts. They know everything about you. They know everything about every guy on your roster at this point, except for maybe Jaden Springer. Woo!
Like, that's a big impact.
Who is your hero in the Clippers game? And I think in watching that Clippers game, and then certainly in the Lakers game, teams, like, the book's out on them. And I wonder if Missoula is at the point where he's ready to not just, like, look at the matchups that they're giving, but try to take the team to the next level above that, because it's a very different thing than all of a sudden adding Jrue Holiday and Kristaps Porzingis into the lineup and saying, you got no answers for anybody on this team. Now they've been studying you for over a year.
Yeah, but I guess I look at that Lakers game, and they didn't play Porzingis or Al Horford in the Clippers game the night before. So to me, maybe that was more so just a, all right, these are the guys we rested yesterday. They're a little bit fresher than the guys that played through that overtime game.
It doesn't mean you have to play them on the court as the double big lineup for so much of the game.
Yeah.
It was not working.
That's fair. Maybe it was more just, again, like, I think maybe it was just a, like, rest and experimentation moment kind of thing for Joe, and not necessarily something you're going to see happen regularly or more often. And
that's definitely another question, is, like, how much are they just experimenting,
testing,
working things out during the season?
We talked about this a couple weeks ago.
That they're going to be in the postseason anyway, and seems like they don't really care about having the one seed, and maybe they don't care about having home court advantage in the finals. I don't really think that's that big of a deal, to be totally honest. I don't. But honestly, there's certain games like the Hawks game where I'm like, you should win that game. You're in that game. You should not be going to overtime. Like, these are mental mistakes, and it points more to this team not being totally locked in and not locked in with their coach at times.
Is it too much of a reach, or does it feel very Chiefsian? Like last year with the Chiefs, they were kind of just going through the motions. I think they only won, what was it, 10 or 11 games. They were like a 2 or 3 seed, but they didn't really care. They were trying to stay healthy. They were trying to make sure they were healthy at the right time. And then come playoff time, they just run through the playoffs and win their back-to-back Super Bowls. And it feels similar to that, in that all these guys know how talented they are and how good they are as a team. And it's just kind of, I'm banged up right now. All-Star break's 2.5 weeks away. I just want to get to that so I can have a week off and relax and reset and then get ready for the second half of the season, final half of the season, whatever. And it kind of reeks a little bit of that Chiefsian approach.
I think you're right with that.
Yeah.
And it's just a matter of, can you accept that from a team who, I think the Boston Celtic, who gets the most praise after the Larry Bird era, is really Kevin Garnett, mm-hmm. because of the mindset that he had.
Sure.
And coming in and being so annoyingly aggressive and being such a psycho and holding everybody
else
to standard.
This team is so different from that.
It is. And it's honestly a different league from that.
Oh, 100%.
And you see how much load management and rest these guys get.
Absolutely.
Like, it's definitely the consistency of the regular season, I think, is harder to achieve right now. And honestly, like, I think that's why I was thinking about this last night, because all I do is, like, sit around thinking about the Celtics.
Yeah,
I was preparing for TV, so I was thinking about different Celtics stuff.
I get that.
I do think Tatum is extremely underrated in his availability.
He is
Tatum
always on the court.
Tatum plays more than any other superstar. And I'm saying superstar because I do want to read you. He is usually in the top 2 of minutes played per season or across the season. Right now it goes Mikal Bridges, Josh Hart. Those guys aren't superstars. OG and Anobi, starter, not a superstar. Those were all Knicks, by the way. Anthony Edwards, budding superstar.
Yep.
Jalen Brunson, budding superstar. De'Aaron Fox, franchise player, but again, not a superstar. Then you have Jason Tatum. Like, Jason Tatum plays more than the Trae Youngs, obviously the LeBrons, Kevin Durant's, even of his, like, the Giannis's, the Jokic. Tatum plays so much. And I do think that that's something that goes unnoticed about him, to the point where then when he takes a game off, because 2 years ago he has his son's birthday party or something, everybody's like, oh, Tatum's not serious. Who's not that? Like, when you talk about consistency in the regular season and the regular season mattering, that's Tatum. Oh, and then people will turn it and go like, well, it matters to him because he's trying to get the MVP award. Of course he is. He's an NBA superstar. So I don't know. I just needed to give a little rant there because I feel like my guy gets disrespected a lot. And
I think that's fair.
Tatum is hyper available.
Yeah, he is. He's the kind of player Kevin Garnett would have loved to have because he's always on the court. Always. At every single point in time, Tatum is always on the court. Like, he never misses. He never wants to be unavailable, as you said. And I think that matters to him. I think that's a personal thing of him. And it's different than a lot of NBA players today, right? Like you said, there's not a whole lot of superstars on that list. The closest guys to Jason Tatum are theoretically Anthony Edwards, Jalen Brunson, and Shai Gilgeous-Alexander, who is like five spots down from where
and
Tatum is.
And SGA is also a baby.
Yeah.
So, like, he should be having that workload.
Absolutely.
Right now.
Same with Anthony Edwards. Like, those guys are young bucks, and they should be playing that many minutes and trying to catch up to where Tatum's at. But I guess the question I would have is, do you think this malaise, this period of time of going through the motions is really going to affect them come playoff times? Yeah, like, it's not over. Like, I think right now we can be upset with how they're playing, but in the grand scheme of things, like, this should not affect their playoff run at all.
So I think the big question to me is, if you think that Jaylen Brown is actually disgruntled with the current setting of the Celtics.
Yep.
And I think Jaylen Brown is regularly gruntled. I think he is the same as he always is, which is he's a prideful person. He has high standards. Mm-hmm. He is frustrated with himself and frustrated with the situation. And that's who he's been always since you were booing him when he got drafted here.
Yeah.
But for the Celtics overall, like I said, I wrote about this week. So there's only three teams that have repeated back-to-back championships since the 2009-2010 season. Painful one. That was the Lakers when they saw the Celtics seven games. Kobe gets the back-to-back. And if you look at that team, so that's all the way back in 2009-2010. The year before that, when they were champs, they were a 65-17 team. And they had the third-ranked offense. They went the next year when they repeated against the Celtics to being a 57-25 team in the regular season.
So a pretty big drop-off. Was
pretty
that
big
eight
drop.
Wins?
They had the 11th-ranked offense that year. So they dropped from third to 11th. They still repeated. And then the Steve Kerr gave this quote. I can't remember if it was before or after.
It was before the game.
Okay. To media who were out in Golden State. And talked about how natural it was and don't worry about the Celtics. So that 2017-2018 Warriors team, that's when they brought back Kevin Durant. Mm-hmm. That was like the biggest super team that we have ever seen in the NBA. And they were, hold on, I have the total here. So at this time, through 44 games, the Celtics were 31-13. That team was 35-9. And they had a similar drop-off to exactly what the Lakers had. It was a change of like 8 or 10 games.
Yeah.
And that's the range where these teams are. The only exception is really the 2013 Miami Heat. They got better from one year to the next. They were still kind of figuring it out and who was going to be the leader between Dwayne Wade and LeBron James. It's just my way of saying, like, I think even if you repeat, even if you're Golden State and you go into the finals and you sweep the Cavs, the regular season, you get into these doldrums. And I think it's actually much, much more rare for a team to get better or to match the production they had the year before.
Especially when you're wire to wire, the best team in basketball last year. It's really a hard bar to cross.
Like, that team was a historically great Celtics team.
They were amazing. And again, it wasn't even a question from day one till the final day of the finals. Like, they were the best team in basketball. And so to ask them to be better than that, I feel like it's such a high, like, it's such a big ad. Like, they don't need to do that. They just need to be good enough to be in the playoffs and then repeat as champions. Like, that's what matters more to us. At the end of the day, 10 years from now, when you look back on these two teams, the only thing that's going to matter is the fact that they went back-to-back. And so, like, again, you can be a little apprehensive right now just because the malaise is here and the motion, they're going through these motions and all this stuff. But, like, when it comes down to it, at crunch time, the Celtics team is going to show up. They did last year. They're good enough. They have the talent. There isn't some major locker room issue. they're
that
just,
we know of. Like, yeah, I'll sure. allow for the possibility that there's something.
But even
I haven't gotten a whiff of it. But I don't think Jaylen Brown saying, like, I'm in a different role this year,
yeah.
and it's taken adjusting to, and I don't complain, in a voice that sounds to some people like he's complaining, I don't think that that's, like, a big waving red flag. I really don't.
No. Yeah.
I think this is who Jaylen has been the entire time he's been here, and they have made it quite far, and they won a championship last year.
Yeah, and even when teams have some internal issues going on, when great players play great, they can still win. I mean, look at what the Patriots did in the final Super Bowl with Tom Brady. Like, we know now about all the dysfunction that was going on behind the scenes and how Tom Brady, like, wanted to just get out. And yet they still went and beat the Rams in the Super Bowl. And so, again, great players and great teams do great things. And when it comes down to crunch time, when it matters most to them and when it matters most to that coach and Jason Tatum, they're going to be fine.
So then how much stock do you put into today's game, which is a finals rematch?
None. Zero.
They're
going to win, but done.
Have they even said if Luca's playing? Because I think he was questionable.
I'm not sure. I have not seen.
I don't put a lot of stock into that particular game because I think Luca might be out, and that just is... that's not the same kind of matchup that you'd be looking at.
It's not even close. But again, like the way this Celtics team has played, they... just like win one, lose one, win one, lose one, win one, lose one. So they lost to the Lakers the other day. They're going to beat Dallas today. It's just kind of how it goes. It is what it is. They're just trying to figure it out. They've been, what, 500 over the last month or so?
Yeah, basically going back to December 19th.
Yeah.
And again, like that's Drew Holiday being in and out of the lineup. That's Jaylen Brown being in and out of the lineup.
Yep. Porzingis isn't playing every day.
The guys have to get right. Yeah, Porzingis looks good, though.
Yeah, looks
I'm,
great.
Like, very happy about Porzingis.
But, like, the good thing is come playoff time, Porzingis will be playing every night. And so you'll get good Porzingis every night. It's not just an every other night occurrence. I think that matters.
The funniest thing to me about Porzingis is he started doing this thing in some of his post-game press conferences really quick where when he's getting asked a tough question, a question that's about the locker room or mentality or someone else being frustrated, he definitely starts reverting to, this is my second language.
I noticed that at the end of one of his answers the other night.
I'm like, you're buying time in a good way, guy. Like, Porzingis is smart.
He's the
He's
best.
He's a really smart dude.
I love him. 617-779-7937. Call in. Tell us about the Celtics. Where are you at with them? Are you nervous heading into the second half of the season and into the playoffs? Do you think this is going to affect them in the long run? But most importantly, Mego's Commanders play football tomorrow. NFC Championship game. We also have the AFC Championship game between the Chiefs and the Bills. We will talk about championship weekend in the NFL coming up next year. But right now, Joe Braverman is going to get you caught up with what's trending.
The Greg Hill Show, weekdays 6 to 10.
Now, here's what's trending on WEEI.
The Bruins are back in action this afternoon. They're taking on the Colorado Avalanche from TD Garden. They are just getting underway about 5 minutes in, and it is still scoreless. Jeremy Swayman is starting in net after being inactive for Thursday's win over the Senators. Justin Brazo is also in the lineup. As we just touched on, it's an NBA Finals rematch later this evening as the Celtics head to Dallas to take on the Mavericks. Derek White is questionable for the season tonight. He's dealing with left knee soreness. Tip-off is set for 5:30. Bills safety Taylor Rapp has been ruled out of Sunday's AFC Championship game against the Chiefs. Kansas City has a clean injury report. On the NFC side, Eagles starting center Cam Jurgens has a questionable designation. Just a reminder that you can listen to Westwood One's coverage of both the AFC and NFC Championship right here on 93.7 WEEI FM beginning on Sunday at 2 o'clock. WEEI's coverage of the football postseason is brought to you by Y Snacks. No one does crunchy, salty, or cheesy better than Y Snacks. And some other news in the NFL, the Cowboys agreed to make offensive coordinator Brian Schottenheimer their new head coach, and the 49ers are bringing back Robert Saleh to be their defensive coordinator. Saleh was the DC for 3 years before taking the Jets head coaching job back in 2020. I'm Joe Braverman, and that's what's trending on WEEI and WEEI.com.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
What is Dax, are you
tracking all our cars on Carvana Value Tracker on all our devices? Yes, Kristen, yes I am.
Well, I've been looking for my phone for...
In Dax's domain, we see all, so we always know what our cars are worth.
All of them?
All of them. Value surge, trucks up 3.9%.
That's a great offer.
I know. Sell?
Sell.
Track your car's value with Carvana Value Tracker today.
And now, two pigeons who can't believe how good humans have it with DirecTV.
These humans are hopping from streaming apps to live sports without batting a wing.
All from the DirecTV home screen.
With just one click, you could be watching a baseball game, a movie on Netflix,
or a critically acclaimed documentary.
You watch documentaries?
I love the ones that leave you with a question.
What?
Exactly.
DirecTV, a better way to watch whatever you want to watch. Visit DirecTV.com.
Internet-connected Gemini device, separate Netflix membership, and additional paid subscriptions required for third-party apps.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recaps. And after that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season 2.
The Severance podcast with Ben Stiller and Adam Scott is presented by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Quick throw, far side, get it out there to McLaurin.
Quick through, Terry McLaurin, foot race, McLaurin is going to win! Touchdown, Washington!
Third and 10, four-man rush, it's Goff throwing over the middle, and it's picked off, Jeremy Chinn! And Washington will be going to the NFC Championship for the first time in 33 years.
Mego and Chime here on Boston Sports Original. That'll fire Mego up for tomorrow, that's for sure.
Like, makes me emotional. I'm like, that's pretty much my lifetime.
Yeah.
That's crazy.
It feels like a very special moment for the Commanders. Like, you are currently at a point where it's kind of win-win at this. It's like... Yeah, if you lose, it's like...
You're playing with house money.
Yeah, you got here. You made it way farther than you expected to in the playoffs. You know how good Jaden Daniels is. Your head coach isn't a total boob. Like, he knows what he's doing. It's like, all right, we're off in the right direction. What a great way to start post-Dan Snyder. Like, this is amazing. And then if you do win, you're in the Super Bowl with a rookie quarterback. And
first time ever.
The first time that'll ever happen.
Ever.
There's been 5 other rookie quarterbacks to reach the conference finals. None of them have won... won the conference and made it to the Super Bowl. And that list includes guys like, I think it was like Sean King, Ben Roethlisberger, Brock Purdy is on that list.
Mark Sanchez,
Joe Flacco. I think that's the 5.
So this is where I stand today. And this is an extremely biased take.
Okay.
But tell me I'm wrong.
Tell
me I'm wrong.
I hope I don't have to.
Jaden Daniels is the greatest rookie quarterback in modern NFL history.
Yeah, I said this like 2 weeks ago.
The greatest.
Yeah, I totally agree.
And if anybody's going to go to a Super Bowl as a rookie, it's going to be Jaden Daniels. And
this.
Let me tell you
this
why.
This is confidence from a Commanders fan.
Let me
right
tell
now.
You something. I don't think it's going to happen, but if it happens for any rookie quarterback, it's going to be this one.
I couldn't agree more.
Here are your other rookie quarterbacks who have made it to conference finals as true rookies.
Yep.
I'm not talking about guys who are in their first year as starters, because there are plenty of those.
Yep. So please do not text in Dan Marino, Pat Mahomes,
Kurt
any of those.
Warner.
Yep. None of them.
We get it. Certain guys, they play one game, they play two games in their first season, they get a little playing time, then they are the starter next year. not a rookie.
Nope.
Not the same thing.
True rookie.
This is a true rookie list. 2004, 2005, Ben Roethlisberger. He had 2,621 passing yards, 17 touchdowns, led four comebacks. That's the regular season. Mm-hmm. Postseason, he's got 407 passing yards, three touchdowns. Lost in the conference championship. All of these guys did. 2008, 2009, Joe Flacco. 2,971 passing yards, 14 touchdowns, led one comeback, playoffs, 437 passing yards, one touchdown. 2009, 2010, Mark Sanchez. Patriots fans don't like this one.
Yes.
2,444 passing yards, 12 touchdowns, led zero comebacks. Playoffs, 539 passing yards, four touchdowns. 2022, 2023, Brock Purdy threw only nine games, 1,374 yards, 13 touchdowns, led one comeback. Playoffs were 569 passing yards, three touchdowns. Let me tell you something. All of those guys were passengers. They were either passengers of a system like the 49ers when great weapons around them,
mm-hmm.
or they were passengers of great defenses.
Very much so.
Like baby Ben Roethlisberger at the time.
Joe Flacco and Mark Sanchez.
They were passengers on their defense. Jaden Daniels numbers through the regular season, 3,568 passing yards. We're not even talking about the rushing yards.
No, he had 890 of those too.
25 touchdowns. Led his team to four comebacks mm-hmm. in drives as the quarterback. Playoffs, 567 passing yards, four touchdowns. He is in the driver's seat. Yep. That's why Jaden Daniels is not only the greatest rookie of the modern rookie quarterback of the modern NFL era, but why he has a chance of being a rookie who actually takes his team to the Super Bowl. I say a chance, a good chance, because he will be the better quarterback on the field against Jalen Hurts tomorrow.
I agree.
Now, the team around them, the coaching around them, like, I don't love Nick Sirianni. I don't hate him, but I think his team might. I look at the entire situation. Jaden Daniels is the closest thing to a weapon, a game changer that Philly has on the other side, like Saquon Barkley and the offensive line that they have in front of Saquon. Mm-hmm. But I don't know that in the way that Philly might be able to command and control the game, that a rookie like Jaden can overcome it. But I stand here today. There is nothing that Jaden Daniels can do tomorrow that would fail me so greatly to change this take of mine.
Yeah, I think you're on the right track. I think you should be at this point with Jaden Daniels because he is that good. He is tremendous. To think that this Commanders team has punted once and given up one sack in two playoff games is insane. Like that to me, and again, these are playoff teams. This isn't some regular season span against the Panthers and Raiders.
You're not getting somebody's soft backup quarterback
nope.
in there.
You got the Detroit Lions, the number one seed in the NFC, and the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, whose defense struggled at times this year, but ultimately a playoff team.
So did yours.
Yeah, 100%. But ultimately was a playoff team. Jaden Daniels has been sacked once, and they punted once. That's it. You have less. You have as many combined punts and sacks as you do games played. That, to me, is what's most impressive. And I think you're right in that this offense runs specifically through Jaden, and that is the ultimate matchup going into this game against the Eagles. It's Jalen Carter and Jordan Travis and that Philly front versus Jaden Daniels. If they can get to Daniels and somehow wrap him up, you're probably going to lose the football game. But if he continues to do what he's been doing, escape pressure, escape the pocket, just get positive plays or get the ball away and avoid sacks, there is a really, really good chance the Commanders can actually win this football game. That's why I feel like the point spread in this game has kind of gone up a little bit. It opened at 4.5 right after the Eagles won against the Rams just because of the Jalen Hurts injury. They didn't know. It has since climbed all the way to 6.5 in some spots. It's too much. Like you shouldn't be spotting Jaden Daniels a full touchdown.
For a divisional matchup, too.
Yeah, like it's two teams very familiar with each other. It's not like Jaden Daniels lost both games.
Yeah.
It's just, it has come down to which game had the healthy quarterback. The first time these two teams played, Jaden was dealing with a rib thing. He was going through that lull in his season. Eagles dominated in that game. The second time, Jalen Hurts got injured. That you had to see Tanner McKee and Kenny Pickett. And yet Jaden Daniels came out on top. And in this game, Jaden Daniels is clearly the healthier quarterback. He has been so good in the playoffs. And like, Mego, you should be really, really, really excited about tomorrow. I mentioned this when we were on the Six Rings podcast. I hate to make the comparison, but it just feels a little 2001 Patriots.
This is what I said to Ken and Curtis on the crossover a couple hours ago. I said, this is like the greatest compliment that I could never imagine as a Washington football fan.
Yep.
That after getting our heads pounded in 52 points hung on us by Bill Belichick back in 2007, that you would turn around and say, what a magical season you're having. It reminds us of one of the greatest seasons, yeah, one of the greatest Super Bowl runs of all time. It just in terms of like the unlikeliness. I do want to touch on something because it's something that we've discussed a little bit, but now that it's reached the Shaughnessy level.
Okay.
So Dan Shaughnessy, in his Friday column for the Boston Globe, he wrote, if not for a late season win in 2023, the Patriots may have drafted playoff hero Jaden Daniels and other thoughts. He writes, at this hour, would Patriots fans rather have Jaden Daniels than Drake May? The performance of Daniels in these playoffs, coupled with the nonstop news spilling out of Foxborough, has me wondering how we're going to be feeling 15 to 20 years from now when the dossiers of Daniels and Mays are complete. He goes on to say how good May was and how good Daniels has been, especially going through the playoffs. He says, in fairness, it's way too early to say Jaden Daniels is better. Mark Sanchez won two road playoff games in his rookie season. And back in 2013, Colin Kaepernick was the next big thing when he ran for 181 yards in a divisional playoff game against the Packers. But after watching Daniels the last 2 weekends, there are times when I wish Chad Ryland hadn't kicked that 56-yard Christmas Eve field goal at Mile High for Belichick's 333rd and maybe final NFL career win. Are you at that point yet? Do you think that when we sit here, maybe not even 20 years from now, 8 years from now, Patriots fans are going to be kicking themselves for not having Jaden Daniels?
No. I think you're fortunate enough to have Drake May, and that's why, like, ultimately, at the end of all of the, like, 10 years from now, I don't think you're going to be upset about having had Drake May and wishing you had had Jaden Daniels. But right now, right this very moment, yeah, I'd like to have Jaden
Daniels.
What if it's the
difference between having, and this is, like, best case scenario ever for both franchises?
Sure,
maybe
sure.
Not ever. What if it's the difference between having Tom Brady versus Peyton Manning,
or I'm good with Peyton
Mahomes
Manning
versus Josh Allen, when you could have had Brady or Mahomes? I mean, you did have Brady, but I'm saying in this era of what could have been.
I understand the comparison, but at the same time, I would just go back to those rookie seasons and just be like, yeah, if you had drafted Jaden Daniels into this mess, he wouldn't have been Jaden Daniels.
But what about all
you
that?
You would have taken away all of
his. What about everything
we
heard about Peyton Manning had such a horrible of a rookie season, and then he ended up being great?
Oh, yeah, I mean, that's fine. Like, again, like, I still think Drake May is going to have a good career. But I'm just saying, like, Jaden Daniels wouldn't have had the greatest rookie season of all time. We wouldn't know this version of Jaden Daniels existed if he was on the New England Patriots, is basically my point, right? Because he would have been in such a crappy situation like Drake May that, God, what, he's good. He's really good. I'm excited we have him, but holy smokes, what are we doing going forward? Is kind of where I would be at. Like, if Drake May was on the Commanders this year, I don't think they'd be in the conference finals, but they would have been a playoff team.
You think so?
Yeah, because I think the offensive coordinator was really good. I think the way they attacked free agency and the draft was really, really good. Dan Quinn is a good football coach and knows how to create a culture in the locker room, a competent culture and defense. And so I think they would have been a playoff team. I don't know if they would have won a playoff game, but I think they could have been a playoff team with Drake May this year. Like, that's kind of where I'm at. But that's the giant gap right now that exists between Jaden Daniels and Drake May.
I also think something we don't talk about as much at this point now, because they've both played an NFL season,
yeah,
they both have that under their belts, is that Jaden Daniels was ahead of Drake already in his development.
Oh, 100%.
Had played almost twice as many games in college,
yep,
as a starting quarterback.
Very much so.
He's older. In a good way.
Yeah.
Like, he's just further along in the development process. And so I think he has a little bit of a head start when you're looking at rookie versus rookie.
Yep.
But I think something that we would agree on, mm-hmm, tell me if you disagree, but okay, I think we would agree that if something shifted in the draft last year and Drake went 2 and Jaden Daniels went 3, you would take Jaden Daniels. You were going to take whatever quarterback was at that 3
spot.
Oh,
yeah. 100%.
It wasn't about Drake May. And I think that goes back to Elliot Wolf.
Yeah.
And how much you trust him in the front office.
Which is why I don't give him credit for that draft
pick. It wasn't that they were in love with Drake May.
No.
It was, there was one of three elite quarterbacks sitting at three, and you were going to take whoever was
there. They were
going to
fall right in your lap.
And you were going to smile and be happy with whatever you got.
Yeah, no kidding.
You get what you get. You don't get upset.
Yeah, and it's just, I also think, too, it's been interesting to hear all the stories of how much... I don't think we've gotten to talk about this yet, is Jaden Daniels using the virtual reality. I think this...
Oh, no! Video games! Virtual reality! Doesn't everyone hate that? Why doesn't he just get out on the field and throw?
Coming from a show that ridicules me constantly.
Same.
About virtual reality and, oh, yeah, he's doing all those virtual reps. Like, that was a big deal to Jaden. He was doing them at, like, 1.5 speed, like, ripping through plays. And he, because... In virtual reality, you don't need 11 other players on the field, and it's about the decision-making process. It's not about actually, you know, like making the throw a lot of the time. It's more so seeing what's in front of you. And so he can run the same play over and over again against different defenses and understand what it's like to beat this defense and see it and recognize it, right? So it's like, you know, the coach dials up too high safety and just a basic zone coverage. It's like, okay, I identify it, I hit this guy. And if it's wrong, he sees it and can adjust. And then it's, okay, let's mix up the defense. Let's go into nickel and we'll do this and blah, blah, blah. And then it's like, okay, I hit this guy. Oh, no, that's the wrong guy to target. I can go this. And it's just, you can just, you get so many more reps. And I think that's why, I think that's one of the reasons, too. Drake has been better than a lot of people expected.
Yeah, we didn't hear anything really about his... processing power.
No.
Which with a
Greg
pocket
just made
passer,
fun of him for doing virtual reps.
With a I think it was mental reps was what he called them. So maybe it was a little bit of a different thing, because I will say I like virtual reality as an add-on.
Yeah.
I like virtual reality as part of the studying that a quarterback does on their own, does with the offensive coordinator, does with the quarterback's coaches.
Yep.
But I think the frustration at the time that some people had with the way that the Patriots were communicating, which again could just be an issue of communication because they were terrible at messaging.
They were very
bad. Was that it seemed like Drake was not getting as many practice reps or training camp reps with the ones because Jacoby Brissett was getting those reps. And then it sounded like maybe instead he was also getting virtual reality reps, and why can't he just get the reps in practice? But I don't think we need to attack virtual reality because all the elite colleges are using it now. Most of the, as to my knowledge, NFL programs are using it, and it's a study tool. Like, that's what it is. It's not that you're playing video games instead of going to practice.
What's different between that
and watching? This is
science. What's the difference between that and watching tape?
What's the difference between that and going over your playbook?
Yeah, it's allowing him to do it and see it. And I think that's the most important thing with VR compared to just like watching tape and stuff. It's so much easier to see because it's what you actually see in the football game. It's literally through the visor what's in front of you instead of having to see it from the all 22 angles or
that
whatever.
That thing would
it is.
Make me sick. Like,
oh, really?
I get nauseated from that stuff.
I've played anytime golf a couple times on VR. It's pretty cool.
I tried, like, back when I was, like, a business tech reporter, and this was years ago, so maybe it's improved since then, but whenever you put one of those, like, headsets on and...
You get really sweaty.
Yeah. Oh, I don't get sweaty, but I get dizzy. I get, like, nauseated.
That's a me thing.
I think it is. I don't know. I do have bad inner ear balance. Like, I have good balance, but
okay.
I went... clay shooting, like shooting clays.
Like the clay pigeons?
Yeah.
Okay.
In Maine a couple years ago.
I think it's like skeet shooting, I believe is the actual term.
Or like shooting
clays. But we'll take yours.
Yeah, I knew what she was talking about. Yeah. It's fine. She's
so
good.
I wore the ear protection that they told me to, and I actually got vertigo after using a shotgun.
Jeez, because of the noise?
Because it disrupted something in my inner ear. It was freaking terrible, let me tell you. If you've ever had vertigo, the solutions for it are really weird.
Yeah.
You have to basically like sit down on your bed and then lay down and turn your head like counterclockwise and do all these weird positions with your head like multiple times a day. I don't wish it on anyone. It's a very funny bit on Arrested Development for Lucille 2. But it is not funny in real life. And now I'm scared because I want to go skeet shooting again. And I don't want to get vertigo. And I wore the protective earwear.
Maybe you also need to wear earplugs inside.
You need the plugs and the big ones.
Yeah.
Maybe. I don't know.
Or maybe you need to just get a real good pair of noise-canceling headphones.
Maybe
play some good music in there. You love what? Like the Turnpike Troubadours? You love that, right? Yeah. Toss them on. Get that
That'd
in there, really.
That'd be some good skeet shooting music, too. Right.
There you go. Yeah, yeah, you feel like
I'm in like the Appalachians.
Yeah,
mountains.
Like in Kentucky or something.
Yeah, I feel like I'm in the mountain range.
Really getting after it. Hey, I think that's in play.
Works for me.
There you go. Good. 617-779-7937 if you want to weigh in. We've been talking Patriots a lot today. We got to the conference championship. The one game, though, we haven't gotten to yet. The Kansas City Chiefs, Buffalo Bills. We will get to that right coming up here on Mego and Shime. And then, what is it, Ball and Lions coming up from 2 to 6 this evening. Look at that. All right, keep it locked right here on WEEI. Mego and Shime here on Boston Sports Original WEEI.
That's me shooting clays.
Yeah, sniping those clay pigeons. Was it easy?
Well, you got to get, don't you have to yell like pull or something? Like pull!
Pull!
I feel like someone yelled that for me.
Oh, really?
So I did this through the L.L. Bean Discovery Center in Freeport, Maine.
Interesting.
So I had never done skeet shooting before, gone skeet shooting. So we went up, we drove up there from Portland. And they give you the guns and all the equipment, and they talk you through it. It was great. Like, nice. I think it was maybe like 90 minutes. I would certainly do it again. Long as I know that I wouldn't get vertigo again, because that sucked.
That would
but
be
like,
miserable.
I was on a boat all the time.
Ooh.
Like a,
just constantly seasick?
Yeah, exactly. Ooh. Yeah, can you imagine that?
No, I
like,
don't
like, I would
to.
Stand in a room, and it would feel like the horizon line or of the ceiling would be tilting in front of me to the left.
Yikes.
I was like, ugh, I'm going to throw up.
That seems miserable. The one thing that isn't miserable, though, is NFL Conference Championship weekend.
Hopefully not.
Hopefully not for you. We talked a lot about Jaden Daniels and his rookie season as they match up with the Eagles. Let's go with, let's get some official predictions here, Mega.
Okay.
In the Commanders-Eagles game, Commanders plus 6.5 points. Who are you taking in the game?
Like, if I'm speaking from the head, I would take Philly. And I think the spread is a little high, but I do think that the way that Philly wins this game is by controlling the clock, running it everything through Saquon. The way that Washington wins this game is getting ahead quickly and forcing the game to run through Jalen Hurts in the passing game. And I don't know that Washington, with the limited experience that Jaden Daniels has, the limited experience that this team has together, and new coaches, that they're going to be able to execute the game plan. You know, similarly to what they did against Detroit, but I don't know. I feel that for playoff football, that the Eagles are just better built top to bottom, even though Washington has the better quarterback.
Yeah, I get that. For me, I look at it, and like all four of these teams in the conference championship games are all teams that don't turn the football over.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's the biggest thing. Like, it's like, just don't turn the football over. You probably will win the game. I'm going to take the better quarterback. I'm taking Jaden Daniels.
Oh, man.
Give me the Commanders plus 6, Commanders on the money line.
What
I
do
want
you think,
it both.
Like, what do you think? Like, the last I checked, the over-under was like 47?
47.5.
47.5? What would you take on that?
I would lean over.
Really?
But I probably won't touch it, to be completely honest. I'll probably just stick with the
game. Just thinking of, like, what style game you think it's going
to
be.
Yeah, I think they're going to... I think it could look very similar to that Eagles-Rams game we saw. But
not Jayden in the snow.
Yeah, and also Jaden Daniels will convert on a final drive in the fourth quarter. Like, that to me seems imminent or inevitable.
You kind of spoke this into existence against the Lions. You said this is going to be at least a one-score game, and if it's a one-score game, then Jaden will be able to close the game.
Bingo. And so that's how I feel about this. So I will take the Commanders. And then you got the AFC Championship. Bills and Chiefs, one of the more anticipated matchups of the year. Josh Allen beat the Chiefs earlier this year. The Bills really dominated in that game. But he has not beaten Patrick Mahomes in the playoffs. I believe 0-3 against Mahomes in the playoffs. Again, currently only a 1.5 point favorite are the Kansas City Chiefs. I saw this number get to 2.5 yesterday in some spots.
Too.
So it's different depending on what book
let's
you're
just
at.
Let's say 2.
Yep, let's say 2. Kansas City by 2. Mego, where are you at?
I'm taking Kansas City.
Ooh.
And I don't want to. I want to see Josh Allen in the Super Bowl. It'd be super fun to have the Bills fans down on Bourbon Street. There was some like pretty fun stories that people wrote from local Buffalo news sports writers about how New Orleans gets this historic snowfall and how that's like a good sign and reaching out to psychics. I'm sorry, I don't have the reporter right in front of me. I was reaching out to local psychics to see what that means for Buffalo actually getting down to New Orleans. It's a way more fun situation
100%.
If the Bills are in the Super Bowl. But I think it's going to be the Chiefs again. As long as they have this Patrick Mahomes, Travis Kelce, thing rolling. Like, I don't see why you'd bet against them. It's the most predictable thing in sports right now.
Yeah, I would love to see a Bills fan on Bourbon Street. That would be amazing. I think that would be content galore. But unfortunately, I too will pick the Kansas City Chiefs. It's an emotional hedging thing for me. I have learned...
You feel that strongly about it.
Yeah, with the Kansas City Chiefs, I have learned this. I hate them so much. I'm so tired. I want nothing to do with these boobs. And yet, every time they win. And so I just bet on the Kansas City Chiefs. I put financially, I invest in the Chiefs. Emotionally, I invest in the Bills. Or at last week, in the Texans. And if I lose, if the Kansas City Chiefs win, I win financially. And at the end of the day, I'm okay with that.
That's boring.
And if the team I like wins, emotionally I win. And I'm okay with that. So I hedge big time on this.
I'm tired of talking about the comparison between Andy Reid. Like, you'll notice I didn't put this in our show at all today. I don't want to talk about Andy Reid versus Bill Belichick anymore. I don't want to talk about Patrick Mahomes versus Tom Brady.
Yeah, leave that for the show before you do.
I know they did it. And it gets a lot. People love to talk about it. We've been talking about it for years at this point.
Yeah.
And they keep winning. And honestly, I don't know. I just don't feel that concerned for Patriots fans who are worried that someone else is going to be close to being the best.
Yeah.
Because you just had a dynasty that spanned 20 years and now this other dynasty is catching up quick. I mean, I don't like the Chiefs any better than anybody else, but I still think that the Patriots are going to have the greatest dynasty in NFL history. And even if they win this three-peat, I still don't think it puts them right at the Patriots level.
Do you think they three-peat? You have Eagles, Chiefs in the Super Bowl. If I have to ask you now, do you think they three-peat?
If it's Eagles, Chiefs, I think that they three-peat. If it's Eagles, Commanders, at that point, I've lost my mind. If the Commanders go to the Super Bowl, I might shell out a ridiculous amount of money that I do not have for spending money to go to the Super Bowl,
because
it would be so insane to me that they would get there. And if they make it there, at that point, I'm like, quite literally, all bets are off. How could you predict this ever happening? And it would feel like this is meant to be. This is written in the stars.
I think the world, just for healing purposes, needs Commanders, Bills in the Super Bowl. But I have Commanders, Chiefs in the Super Bowl. It feels like a collision course.
Wouldn't it be healing if it was Commanders, Chiefs and the Commanders won?
Maybe. That's fair.
Well, everyone's a winner, because if it's not the Commanders, the Bills end their drought.
No, the one thing I think everyone on the planet can agree on, nobody wants Eagles, Chiefs. Nobody wants
to see
Eagles
that. Well, I think Eagles and Chiefs fans do.
Yeah, outside of Philly. Nobody wants to see Eagles, Chiefs. Commanders, Chiefs is good. I think that to me is just an inevitable matchup of this young upstart quarterback of destiny versus the guy who's trying to do something no NFL quarterback has ever done. Bills and Commanders is this new wave of great quarterback finally going to win.
Two extremely likable teams.
Absolute. Two extremely likable players. And then even Eagles, Bills, at least you can root for Josh Allen. It's we love Josh Allen. And then, but just, God, for the love of everything, please don't give me Eagles Chiefs. I don't want to watch that. I want nothing to do with it.
But we're
outside
idiots.
Of Saquon Barkley,
we're,
I don't want it.
We're all going to watch it.
Oh, yeah,
we're all going to watch it. It's going to happen. We're going to talk about it, and then we're going to watch it, and then we're going to talk about it some more, and then we're going to get into draft season.
Well, Mego, enjoy conference championship weekend tomorrow. Enjoy the rest of your day today. Thank you, everyone, for tuning in. This has been Mego and Shime right here on Boston Sports Original WEEI. We have Dan Ball and John Lyons coming at you next right here on Boston Sports Original. We'll see you next time.
Nerds.
Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Making financial decisions shouldn't feel like filling out basketball brackets. Too many choices, too much noise, and no one wants a busted budget. NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast cuts through the clutter. Their finance journalists break down real-world money decisions with clear, research-backed insights. From investing to home buying to credit cards, the nerds help you navigate major financial decisions with confidence. Make smarter financial plays today. No luck required. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen.
It's that time of year again. My schedule is packed with bracket-busting, three-point shooting, nonstop basketball action. I don't want to miss a second of it. That's why I go for a 5-hour energy shot. They're perfect for my days packed with back-to-back games or whenever my favorite team is playing late. 5-hour energy keeps me going during the broadcast and the next morning when I need to get myself up and to work. Visit 5hourenergy.com for great deals and to stock up before tip-off.
Street Easy asked former New Yorkers if there's anything they miss about life in New York City.
Let me put it this way. House of the Home Theater sounds appealing. But that's until you realize you no longer have a theater district.
Whether you're looking to rent or it's time to buy, Street Easy has the local expertise you need to never leave NYC. Go to StreetEasy.com to learn more. Street Easy is an assumed name of Zillow Inc., which has licenses in all 50 states.
Low-carb keto yo-yo diets, GLP-1 injections, but you're never going to lose weight if your liver is clogged with fat. So what can you do? It's simple. Almased. Almased is a natural superfood protein shake that uses natural amino acids and bioactive peptides to help unclog your liver and optimize your metabolism so it's easier to lose weight. And it's been scientifically proven to preserve muscle mass. Join millions who have transformed their lives with Almased. Find out more and see the university studies at almased.com. That's almased.com.
Think warm. Think palm trees. Think baseball. Hi, I'm MLB.com's Matt Monaghan. The long, dark freeze is over, and spring training is finally here. If you're a baseball fan looking for a quick, easy way to get all the scores, top stories, and best sound bites from Florida and Arizona, you're in luck.
I don't think people realize how good we are. I don't even know if we realize how good.
The Morning Lineup Podcast, a short, less than 10-minute baseball highlight show, is available anywhere on any platform you listen to podcasts on. 5 days a week. We can't wait to meet you there.